welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports, right here in A Chat in the Garden. Well, people, I just have to shout out the Richmond Black Widows of the Women's Football Alliance. That is women's football, well, women's tackle football. People, I witnessed my very first game this Saturday, and I went to support Advanced Academy member and the contributor to the spring issue, Sherry Lewis. She is a right tackle number 52 for the Richmond Black Widows. It was exciting. It really was. Despite the freezing rain, yes, the freezing rain, it was good football. And so I actually found a YouTube of the game, and I just put it inside the group. I just check it out. Now, why am I pushing this? Okay, number one, that's what we do here in the garden. We celebrate each other. And Sherry is a member of the Advanced Academy, and her desire has been, we were really, really pushing really hard when we heard about the NAIA adding women's flag football to their sports. And so many programs were interviewing women for the position. And so and then she told me that she played, and I was like, okay, so let us promote that and try to position you for one of these positions. Well, to no avail, we you know, and then COVID hit, and people said, you know, we're putting a freeze on hiring and all that kind of good stuff. But it just brought our attention to this because I had the new assistant football running back coach for the Washington football team speak to my class, and she alerted us that she was a former quarterback for this league. In addition to, she was a Division III women's basketball coach who had won championships. And so, hey, administration is in all roles, coaching is in all roles, and even if we're unfamiliar with it, we have to become familiar because it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity that can take you to someplace else. And so, yes, I was unfamiliar with this. I am not a fan. I am not a fan of the lingerie league. I am not a fan. So when I heard, no, this is full tackle, and you know, I was like, okay. And so when I watched it, I was like, bet, this is all right. And plus, you know, we're all fiending for some football. So I was just, you know, and here's the funny thing. I just happened to be on Clubhouse, and I fell upon this group that said women love football. And it was just on my mind. I think it was on Sunday. It was on Sunday. And I just said, yeah, I just can't, because you know how they bring you up and, you know, want to see, you know, you have any thoughts. And I said, I just want to share. I just came for my very first women's football tackle football game. And they were like, what? Never heard of it. I said, you haven't heard of it. So while I'm on, you know, talking, they all go and look and see. And so the host said, I even got a team in Baltimore. And so I was like, well, let me just bring Sherry up. So I quickly found Sherry and got her on so she could give them some information on it. And y'all know me, I just love planting seed, connecting people. So I just want to, you know, put the seed with you that if you're unfamiliar, you know, just dibble in it just a little bit. And we have another member in the garden, too, that that's on a team. I think it's in Kansas City. Our last name is Riley. I can't think of her first name right this second. But, yeah, we put her in the group, too. And we just need to support each other, especially when it's an area of unfamiliarity. And, you know, hey, that means pioneers. And when people step out there, you know, I do a whole workshop on a being first. They need support. Yeah, Sherelle Riley, she is also on a team, and she's competing right now. She's number 44, offensive and defensive line, special teams, Kansas City Glory. And, again, yes, they're competing, but, you know, with the NFL opening up, with the NAIA adding women's flag football, these become opportunities, and we need to recognize. And also, shout out to another member inside the magazine, the first magazine of significance, Dr. Rawls. She's the athletic director in the state of Georgia at a high school, and she was one of the first administrators to bring flag football to her girls. And then the state of Georgia followed suit. And I think we talked about in the Facebook Live this spring how Alabama's doing the same thing. So, hey, think about all the opportunities you can give. Just open your mind. This kind of reminds me of how when I brought bowling to the CIAA, I had just been assigned an administrator over bowling at University of Maryland Eastern Shore, and was kind of like, say, what? This is a sport. You know how we become skeptical because of something we don't know. And then when I came involved in it, I was like, oh, this is serious. And then when I changed positions and was asked to introduce two new sports to the board of directors, I was like, oh, I got the perfect one. Because I've been exposed to it. So my exposure of something nobody else knew about put me in a good light within the president, that the decision makers of the conference. So, I am just trying to plant a seed with you. This may be something, if you become familiar, that you can bring either to your current role, expand your thoughts, maybe in your community, because you are an athletic administrator, you may be able to bring some insight, some structure, all that kind of good stuff. What I do here is plant seeds all in the garden. And again, shout out to Sherry Lewis, who did a good job. Now, again, I said all we do here is celebrate inside the garden, and we're really going to celebrate. It's our second virtual listener appreciation reception, but it's not a reception because it's virtual, so it's a celebration. Hopefully next year we'll be back in person at the NACTA convention, which is where we began to do this. And I think this is our seventh one. This is our seventh one. This is our second virtual, but it's our seventh one of gathering. So it's Monday, June the 15th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. This year we will celebrate our authors, our brand new authors inside the Chat in the Garden. Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes will reveal her new book, which we don't know the title yet. That's the whole point. It's a reveal. And then newly added Dr. Jasmine George Williams. We'll have her virtual book signing of her book, Love is the Root of Resistance. And I'm really excited about having that discussion because truly she is a woman for a time such as this. And her whole premise is preparing our student-athletes and ourselves for the resistance, but surrounding with love. And you can purchase the book on Amazon, and I have already done so. And I think it's two formats, paperback and electronic. So we can be ready for some good discussion. But, yeah, it's not that deep, y'all. We're going to have fun. We're going to have networking, games, and prizes, and I got a DJ. So when I think I put inside the group, tell me your songs or get you going, that's what we're going to do. And I want to thank I'm prophesizing. I just said doctor, but it's D.D. Merritt of the NCAA Leadership Development Group for sponsoring this event. She has been sponsoring, I want to say, for the last 4 years. I appreciate her. I appreciate her having value, finding value in the garden. So you must register. It will not be inside the Facebook group. It will be on Zoom. And so I don't have any bombers. You must register. So go to Monique A.J. Smith, with S after Smith, ZoomRoom.com. Go to Monique A.J. Smith, ZoomRoom.com to register. Now, I really, really need your help, y'all. I really need you, if you have purchased the magazine, Significance in Athletics and Business, to go on Amazon and to put a review. It is crucial. It is crucial. And again, with 2,000 people inside the group, I feel like I can at least get 10 reviews, at least 10. And I don't mean like give me the heart, I mean the stars. You just got to write some words, people, because I need it so that our magazine will move up when it comes up to about women in athletics. So can we please commit to that, all right? And if you haven't received it, gotten the magazine, yes, you can buy it from Amazon, but the PDF version, the electronic version, is on payhip.com/seeds of empowerment, okay? And, you know, I got some resources for you. Jolie Robson of Stepping to Win is a winning basketball coach who I have witnessed over the years. But she's taken her winning ways, and she's coaching women in the financial investor game, which I really admire her on that. Again, I think I kind of told you I've been dipping into Clubhouse, and I think I sat in on one about creating a generational wealth, and interesting conversations, and I felt pretty good that I was pretty versed on some of the things they were talking about. But, you know, one of the things that's coming about is the Bitcoins. And again, we usually stray away from things we don't know and don't understand. So this is what Jolene is first offering, is to give you some understanding. So contact her at 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231. Or you can email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin. That's stepping and the number 2, win.com. And just get some understanding about the new way of investing. And I think I've shared with you all that I think I'm coming up on a year and a half of investing in, using Acorns with the ETFs. And if you, most of the time you'll say, I don't have any money to invest. But if you, first of all, if you invest automatically without looking at it, that helps. And then you get a mechanism that will round off whenever you do spend, and, you know, pennies on a dollar, and you just put it in and you don't look at it. You'd be surprised how you can take that lump sum and knock off some debt or pay off that credit card or use it on a vacation. So there's different ways you can do that, and usually having additional income streams gives you that feeling of choices. And when you have choices, you have a feeling of freedom. So this is just something that I have learned over the years, and I really embrace and think Jolie for finding value in the garden and investing her dollars to for me to share this information with you. Hey, a long-time sponsor is Tawana Smith. And her book, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. This is one of those resources that I 1,000% recommend. I recommend it to my students who want to become agents. People who don't know what happens on the other side of the drafts or the free agency. Many people want to do this, but then are you familiar what it takes? And, you know, I teach at Hampton University, and it never fails for the final projects. Students want to do their project on, especially in psychosociology and sport, talking about how students are not prepared, well, pro athletes not prepared for life after sport. And we all know that, but what exactly does it take? And, you know, we have protective parents, and they think if anybody can protect their child, it's me. But then they don't know what they don't know. And so I'm saying you don't know what you don't know if you, especially if you're one of those folks that students come to for advice and you're not really familiar. And she's got personal interviews with people who've gone through it. And we're not just talking about football. We, you know, track and field, go professional as well. What are the pitfalls that we can somewhat help them avoid? And sometimes you can't tell them. Sometimes it's like giving them a book and let them gain ownership. And so this book is on Amazon as well in three different formats: audio, paperback, and electronic. And again, I endorse this 1,000%. And the NFL purchased the book for the participants in the Celebration Bowl. So don't take my word for it. If the NFL found value in it, I really believe you should have it on your bookshelf. So again, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. So make sure, let me just reiterate, make sure that you go and register. That we got one more week. Make sure you go ahead and register for our celebration with Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes. We'll have her book reveal, and I'm excited about what her book reveal, what the title will be. I kind of know what it's about. I don't want to give any tidbits, but, you know, for those who want to go in athletic administration, you know, Dr. Kiki Barnes has a program, So You Want a Career in Athletics. And so, hey, I think being in the know of her book and whatnot is probably going to be a good idea if this is a program and someone that you need to know. So be in the house. Have your face in the place in MoniqueAJSmithZoomRoom.com. So now I'm ready to bring on our guest of the hour. And I'm really excited about this young lady because I think she's got some great experiences. And, you know, in the light of events today about student-athlete development, hey, these roles are going to play an important role as we return back. I can't say normalcy. Just say our life after COVID. And so I'm really excited about hearing about her thoughts on that. So I'm excited to bring to Sherelle Jackson, Senior Associate AD, Student Athlete Development, University of Miami. Welcome to the garden, Sherelle.
Be here. I love it. I love it.
I love the energy. I love the applause.
Oh, it,
I have to just say, you have the most soothing voice I have ever heard.
Wow. Okay, I'm so glad you recorded it because I'm gonna play that again. Somebody say.
Oh, man, it's so nice to connect. I'm going to say reconnect because, you know, I think it's important to let people know when you have been a positive influence. And I actually sat in a session you did years ago. I was in the back of the room in the corner because the session was packed. And you just were phenomenal and eloquent and really what I needed at that particular convention. I want to say it was Women's Leader. I think it was NACWA before. Before it was Women's Leaders, it was NACWA. But it was a session, and you were just awesome. But it was a long time ago, and I didn't – at that time in my career, I didn't have the nerve to go up and say hello. But now, honey, I'm in a time where I would have come up and hugged your neck. But I just wanted to let you know that we have met – well, we haven't met, but I have been in your presence before, and I enjoyed it. So I love the divine intervention where you reached out and had me on this morning, so I appreciate it.
Okay. Let me get myself together. Thank you so much. I really, you know, and I saw your face. I was like, no, I know her. I know her. You know, I mean,
we've crossed paths.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like maybe we, you know how we would have group dinners or something or sat around.
Yes.
I was like, I feel like I know her. Do you happen to know what session I was talking about and what was the seed that I planted?
It was definitely about professional black, just being an African-American woman, female in the athletic space. I do remember that part. But honestly, here's what's really, my takeaway was like, I'm good. Like, I can do this. Like, there are other black women who are doing this, and I can do this. So it was one of those, like, I call them, like, checkup from the neck up. Like, and that session came to me at the right time. So that I can tell you I walked away full. You filled the cup.
Wow. And that's what the garden is supposed to do. Like, you know,
I
when
love
I keep
it.
Talking about someone, you know, that congratulations, that's to let you know that you can do it. It is possible.
Yeah, but you know what? Your recognition is so nice. Like, you know, people put stuff out there. Like somebody in my communications department put something out about me in February, and then you retweet, like, we put it out, and I was like, this woman is so awesome. Like, this woman is so awesome and so supportive. So I appreciate that you giving not only me but many, many, many women who are in this industry, and you know, the sports industry. I'll just say not even this, but in the sports athletic industry, just the support and love and the recognition, because the recognition matters.
It does. It really does. Because you don't do it for the recognition, like you just telling me right now. I do it for that, but it keeps me going. It gives me my fuel to say, okay, you can do this some more.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to tell you to please keep doing it, because you didn't even know you touched me that day, but you did.
Thank you. So let's plant some more seeds, because you have got a wonderful career. Let us start from college now all the way to where you are now.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to try to do the short version.
I don't like it short because, again, you really need to know how to navigate, because this podcast is really about career and choices and how do you – and the connections to help you get where you are.
Okay, gotcha. So I started out, I was a student athlete at Bowling Green State University, and I had no intention of really even going there, but what you just said, I feel like I have to tell this part of the story. When I was being recruited, growing up in Ohio, I always wanted to go to Ohio State because they were the big university in the state of Ohio and well-regarded and all those wonderful things, and it's a wonderful university. And I found myself, I got the letter, and I did the visit to Ohio State, and it was fine. And I went to some other institutions, and they were fine. And Bowling Green State University was the last visit of the five. And both of my parents are teachers. And so they did their research, and they were like, Sherelle, they were like, Bowling Green State University used to be a teacher's college. I'm telling you, this is going to be a good fit. And I was like, I was like, it's the middle of the cornfield. The colors are not attractive. I'm not trying to be out there in the cornfield with this brown and orange, you know, all the things that don't matter.
Right.
So we go, and we get off the highway, sure enough, in the middle of the cornfield. It was dark, like dark days, and I was like, oh, this place. But what the difference was of Bowling Green State University was the people. The coach was awesome. They talked about the major. They talked about how I was going to graduate in a four-year period. They took my parents and I to an ice hockey game, which we had never been to. So they loved that. My parents, they loved that there was no, we have to treat them differently because this is a black family. And we found that. We found that's what was happening. I graduated from high school in 1990. So we found, even though in the 80s, I'd go to these PWIs, and it was a very very pleasant experience, but we found we were meeting like every black person that worked at the university. And my parents were like, this is not the place. So Bowling Green was really about the people. And so I ended up, the school that I wanted to go to the least ended up being my favorite, and it ended up being a wonderful opportunity. I loved it. I loved my experience there. I loved being a student athlete there. We had great support. The coaching staff was awesome. So then, and it's funny, in my undergrad degree is fashion merchandising, and I thought I was going to change fashion trends in Chicago and New York City, but that didn't happen. There's not really a fashion mecca in Bowling Green, so I was a retail buyer for 4 years, so I did put my degree to work. I was a retail buyer for menswear for JCPenney for 4 years, and the transition. So people go, how did you go from retail to higher education? So here's what's really funny, and you would completely get this. So as I'm doing the retail and doing the buying and doing the shopping, technology, right, so I finished in 94, technology was really taking off during this time period, and they were putting desktop computers in everybody's office. So I no longer had to travel to buy the merchandise because all of the merchandise was being downloaded on the computer. And they thought this was a great thing. Well, it is a great thing in terms of convenience and cost saving for travel, but for me, who's a people person, who likes to be out, who likes to travel, who likes to do all those things, for me, I didn't like that because all of the inventory and all of the clothes were coming to the computer. So you just turned the computer on and you looked and you shopped. And I didn't like that. And so I thought, I've got to figure out what else I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I always would get in trouble because I would always leave my office and I would go down to the selling floor of JCPenney. I would leave the offices and I would go down and be with the staff and go down to be with the people. And they kept saying, you're out of your office too much. You're out of your office too much. And I kept saying, I got to do something where I'm around people. And so I started working with my staff and helping my staff, what else do you want to do? What else do you want to do? And I found myself mentoring them without realizing I was mentoring them. And so people who were doing part-time jobs, sales associates, cashiers, I was helping them with college essays, enrolling them in college while I was working at JCPenney. I was like, you're smart. You have great people skills. You got great communication skills. You need to go to college. They were like, oh, okay. So I was being a college counselor, not knowing I was being a college counselor, right?
Right.
And so then I ended up leaving Penny's. I ended up going to The Gap in a similar role. And I was doing the same thing. And finally, this young man said to me, he was my visual merchandiser, and he was a first generation college student. And he got accepted to his college. He brought his parents, his grandparents. They all came in to thank me, and they said, "Listen, you seem like you're great at this, but you need to be on a college campus. That's your calling." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What?" So I got my I went and got my master's in student development and higher education. While I was getting my master's in student development and higher education, I was a GA in the athletic department at Central Connecticut State University. I was in Connecticut at the time. And I really wasn't sure what I was going to do in student development, higher education. I knew I wanted to help students. My mentor at the time, my advisor at the time, who's now my mentor, she said, "Oh, you are a student athlete." I said, "Yeah." She said, "You need to work in athletics." I said, "But to do what? What would I do in athletics?" She's like, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. That's what you need to do. And so the graduate assistantship during my 2 years master's was one of the greatest things because every 6 weeks I changed departments. And I really got my hands dirty, right? I really was able to roll up my sleeves and, like, do academic advising, do marketing, do in the business office, do tickets, sweep the gym floor, drive the bus around and get the gas in the bus before the football team took the bus, like little bit of everything. And so that I always tell young people, it's important to do what you really love, but I think the challenge with that is how do you know what you're even interested in if you haven't done a lot of things yet, right? So
right,
a graduate assistantship, right, or an internship is a really good opportunity to get your hands dirty, to expose yourself to do a lot of things. Because you said something earlier when you were speaking, you said you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So when young people come to me, right, and go, well, I don't want to do that. Well, how do you know? How do you know you want? I have so many people coming out of grad school who are smart, quick as a whip, but they're quick to tell me what they're not going to do. And I'm like, hold on now.
Right.
They quick. Oh, I'm not packing boxes. I'm not doing. Oh, you're not? Because let me tell you something.
Right.
You're going to pack these boxes. But anyway, they're, instead of saying what I'm not going to do, how about let me try this? Because then you could say, you know what, I have the experience and I did that, and it's not my cup of tea, or that's not my. I don't get excited by doing that. So I tell people all the time, it's okay to try. And I'm not saying you got to be married to it for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but at least try it because you might like it and you might be really good at it. So that graduate assistantship was awesome. That was a wonderful experience. And one of the pieces that I did was academic advising. And I found that was really my niche because I really, really got into transferable skills. Because when I started out, I was a tutor. I was a tutor. I was an English tutor for the football team at the time at Central Connecticut during my GA ship. And they kept coming, you know, with like, you know, just nothing, but no work, no backpack. And finally I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm not counting your time unless you come with something so we could have an actual interactive meeting.
Right.
And they're like, oh, miss, you know, okay. Then they would say, this work is too hard. I don't understand. And so I said, bring me your playbook. The next time we meet, bring me your playbook. They brought the playbook. The playbook oftentimes is thicker than the textbook. When we had textbooks, right? Before textbooks were online, but right? So I said, do you, and I would flip it to any page and point to a play. They could tell me backwards and forwards about that play. I said, son, if you understand this playbook, you can understand this psych book. So let's talk about transferable skills. So that became a niche for me. And so I started doing workshops on transferable skills for student-athletes, helping them understand that they can do this work, helping them understand that they were supposed to be in higher education, that they were more than just an athlete. So I started doing those types of workshops for them. And then I started in academic advising. And I was an academic. So after I finished my master's, I did athletic academic advising at Central Connecticut. I started Division III. Shout out to Division III folks. I love Division III. I love Division III because, again, you do a little bit of. I was the academic advisor, but I was, you know, I also found myself sweeping that gym floor again.
Right.
You do life skills. You do academics. You do a little bit of everything. You help with uniforms. You know, I love Division III, so I did that. I opened up the office of athletic academic advising at Eastern Connecticut State University off of a grant that I wrote. You know, I was part time. I was part time in a broom closet. They cleaned out a broom closet, so I had an office. And you know, I say that to say, you make the most of the opportunity. Yes, I was part-time. Yes, I was in the converted broom closet. But let me tell you, you couldn't tell me I wasn't the best academic advisor on that campus. I made the best. I had a line out that broom closet. You understand? Like, you know how we do. I made that broom closet awesome. You know, posters. By the time the students came to me, they didn't know it was a broom closet.
Right.
And so they kept saying, you know, we love your work. We want you to be full-time, but we can't afford it. I was like, okay, cool. So I did a little bit of research. I found a Women and Minority NCAA grant, wrote a grant, got the grant, and was able to become full-time. And, you know, because people are quick to tell you what they can't do. Okay, right. You can't. Let me help you. Let me help you to get to the yes, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I did that, and that was awesome. I loved that experience. And then I went to Boulder. I went back to my alma mater for a year, also as an academic advisor. And then my husband got a job with the Miami Heat down here in Florida, which is what brought us to Florida. And I was the assistant AD for academic athletic advising at Florida International University. Great, great experience there. And I did that, I want to say, for 4 years. I took a year off because my children, for all those parents out there and for people who are taking care of children, I found myself working really hard at Florida National. I love the work. But I had looked up and I had realized I missed my son's entire first T-ball season, missed the entire thing. And I thought to myself, that's not the type of mother I want to be. And so I was really struggling, quite frankly, with how do I be the mom I want to be the athletic administrator I want to be the wife I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I really need to take a step back. And so I was blessed enough to have a husband who was working. And so I was able to take a year off, and I just kind of assessed what I wanted. And I thought mm-hmm. in my mind, I was like, I'm done with athletics. I don't want to do athletics mm-hmm. anymore. I'm done because I can't do both. And so I will tell you this, though. After being home for a year, and shout out to all the mothers and fathers and caregivers who are home full time, it is not for me. I need to work. It is just not for me. And my boys will tell you the same thing. They were like, even though they were like, what, three and six, they were like, Mommy, you need to go back. Like, you in our way. So they were over me, girl. I was like doing arts and crafts and stuff. They were like, okay, we good on these bracelets and stuff you're doing. So you know, and I was like the room mom. They were like, oh, you back in my classroom? Oh, okay. Isn't there any other mom who want to come in here other than my mom? They were done with me. So after the year, I was like, okay, I want to go back to work, but not in athletics. And so I got an opportunity at the University of Miami, but I was the director of transfer advising. And I thought, this is great, 9 to 5. Perfect. Mm-hmm. The College of Arts and Sciences, this is great. Now, you know this, too, because you know athletics very well. After you work in athletics, and I hope I don't offend anybody, after you work in athletics, everything else isn't quite as fast. Right? The pace of athletics is different, right? Like how we move, how we talk, it's quick pace. And I'm not saying everything else is slow, but I'm just saying it's a different pace. Yeah. So when I went to arts and science, right? Like when I went to arts and sciences, they were like, oh, I'd be done with all my stuff at 11.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, what? So I could be real creative. And what I found as I was working with the students over there, the transfer students, I treated them the same as I always treated my student athletes because I was about them. So I would always go, to me, advising came easy. To me, it was, you have taken these 4 or 5 classes. Here's your next 4 or 5 classes. But then I would ask, why are you in this major?
Mm-hmm.
What are you passionate about? Mm-hmm. What is your best subject? You're not doing really well here, so let's talk about another major perhaps. Like, so I really got into them as a person and their development. So they were like, wow, this is different. This is a different experience. Again, not knowing I was mentoring what I was mentoring, right? And mm-hmm. so I did that for 2 years, and the dean asked me to be the advisor, the director of advising for biology pre-med. Another opportunity, working with faculty over in biology. Now, I am not a STEM person. I said to the dean, I said, I am not a STEM person. And he said, I'll never forget, he said, I don't need you to be a STEM person. He said, you know the curriculum, and you're a people person, so I need you to be my people person. And I thought, wow. So that was the first time in my career it dawned on me how I was moving people, that I was actually working with intention. So I really started looking and doing my own research to like my approach, because people started asking, well, what's your approach? What's your theory? And I was like, oh, my God, what is my approach? So I really started looking. So now I have the language to go in line with what I've been doing. So I did that for 2 more years. And then here's where I think is the blessing. You work really hard, like you work a long time in your career, and in this case for me, I feel like it's been a long time. My oldest son's 21 now, so I've been doing this for 22 years. So you want to get to the place in your career where you're not fighting and searching and hoping mm-hmm. that something pops up. You want the phone to call, like the phone to ring and they call you. So that's the blessing
that's
where
right.
I am now. So they right? So they called me. I was minding my business
right.
over in the biology department at the University of Miami, and the University of Miami Athletic Department called and literally cold called me. She said, "Hello. I'm the SWA over here in athletics." She said, "And I've been giving your name, and I understand you build things." And I was like, "What?" I was like, "I do? What?" And I didn't realize that that's what I had been doing, because I've been about the work and the kids. You know what? And then the kids, the young people.
Right.
And I really had to stop and think about what I had done and what I had created and what my footprint was. And it was great. So that phone call was really professionally changing, because it gave me an opportunity to open. The University of Miami did not have an Office of Student-Athlete Development. So
wow.
I opened the first Office of Student-Athlete Development in 2014 here at UM. And so that was – I usually don't go that in that detail, but I thought it was important. But
yeah,
so
yeah.
that's how I got to this space. But, yeah, that's the story.
That is so fantastic. I mean, thank you so much for taking that time, because that's what I was looking for. That is outstanding.
Yeah, it's
again,
unique.
I like what you said. You build things. And okay, it's true. You build things, and people will come and come get
yes.
you.
Yes. Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, you got to be consistent. You know, some people will ask me, you know, well, how did you get, you know, because everyone goes, well, I want to do what you do. Okay, well,
okay.
Right, but you have to put a little bit more in than just, because people will say, especially I love grad students, they'll say, well, I want to help student athletes be better. Okay, that's awesome, but how are you going to do that? How are you going to move them? How you made the statement earlier in the show, preparing student athletes for life after sport. Okay, that's what I do, but let's talk about the how. How do we get them to navigate that? Because my 400 student athletes, I have international student athletes, I have first gen, I have third, fourth gen, I have students of privilege, I have wards of the state. So when I do programming, I have to make sure that it makes sense for all of them. And so when we do, you know, because people are quick to say, well, this is what student athletes need, and this is what a football player, and this is what, to me, it almost, not almost, I'll tell you what I do, I customize it. So I have a general session, but then I got to customize it, because my young man, who is a third generation Miami Hurricane, who has been exposed and traveled the world, he still needs support, but his support's different than my first-generation young man who's never been on an airplane before.
Mm-hmm.
It's different, right? I still need to pour into both of them, but what I provide for them is different. How I speak to them sometimes is different, but I'm still going to give them the same love, support, and encouragement. And so that's the part that I will say that I enjoy in the space of student athlete development a little more than academic advising. And shout out to all of my academic advisors. I did academic advising for 13 years. But I found myself when I was an academic advisor, you have to spend so much time with the students who really need the support. You don't really get to spend the time with the kids who are making the dean's list. you don't really get to see them, but you still got to support them. You know
right.
what I mean? You still got to, right? They just need support in a different way. And so that part of it has been really interesting. And don't get me wrong, I loved athletic academic advising. I think academic advisors around the country, around the world, I think they make some miracles happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exhausting work. I love it, but it's exhausting work. So I knew, like I said, there was some moments like when I missed my entire son's t-ball season that piece of it was no longer a good fit for me, because it wasn't working for me in my household. So I had to make it change for me professionally speaking.
Well, self-awareness is really the sign of a leader, because you got to be able to lead yourself first. And
that's
just great. And I always say, a young lady that's in my class put on Twitter because she wanted to be successful, and I said, you define success and not society. And that's one reason why I embraced the term significant instead of success, because significance is really you defining that, number one, and then it's leaving an impact or imprint or planting seeds when you leave, and that's really successful. You know, they say a leader is really a leader that when they leave the organization, that it can still go on, and that's really what you want.
Yes, absolutely. I agree 110%. And that's why, you know, people will say, well, what are you most proud of? Well, I, you know, there's a lot of things, but one that I'm really proud of is something that you just spoke to. When I went into Eastern Connecticut State University, they didn't have an academic advisor. Mm-hmm. They had a part-time advisor for student athletes. They didn't have a title for what I was doing. So I was like, okay, well, this is what I'm doing. I'd like to be called the academic advisor for student athletes. Okay, that's fine. But by the time I left, right, because of the work, because of relationships, because of the trust, because of the time put in, because of the grant, Eastern Connecticut State University now has – when I left, so I went in as a part-time person in the broom closet. I left as the assistant director of academics, right? That position is still there because I wrote a grant. Talk about, right, that's what, so to me, that's what you're speaking about. I tell people all the time when they go, well, or they'll do this, they'll say this to me. Well, I don't want to apply for that job because that title is not what. Okay, but what's the work? Let's talk about the work, though. Because sometimes the title doesn't define the work. Please no. I said, but what's the work, though? What are you going to be doing? How are you going to be moving? Are you going to be satisfied with the work? You know, I was a director forever. I was a director for years and years and years and years. But I knew I was doing executive level work. Right? So I was okay with that. And then finally the phone rang because people recognized the work. And so when people go, oh, but you're on the exec team of University of Miami, and you're okay, yeah, but I've been on the exec team of University of Miami for 7 years, but for 14 years, you know, I'm grinding, right? I'm grinding. So, you know, that's not, you know, I am in this position now because of the work, because of the consistency. I think people trust what I'm doing. You know, I have a moral compass that I think people recognize. I think that's important to be in this space and be able to make good moral decisions, not only by the students, but by treatment of people. You know, this is a funky business sometimes, you know. Sometimes you got to walk away from some folks that don't align with your moral compass. Right.
You.
So you don't be stuck in a department because it's, you know, this is the job I wanted. This is but if you see some unethical pieces happening, you better make a good decision for yourself, because we are often the ones who will be cut first.
Say it.
Based on somebody else's unethical decision. Right. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, we need to take a short break right here.
Sure.
On the chat in the garden. So we can pay some bills, and then we're gonna come back and just close out. So
yes, ma'am.
Take it away.
Hey, it's Dr. Jasmine George Williams, also known as Dr. G. I'm so excited to share the release of my book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. To learn more about my research and activism, please visit www.drjasmine.com. That's www.drjasmine. Think of your support. All power to the people.
This is Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes, founder of So You Want a Career in Athletics. Do you know a young girl who needs help navigating her career? She may be the perfect candidate for So You Want a Career in Athletics. So You Want a Career in Athletics is designed to equip the next generation of women leaders with the tools they need to succeed. So You Want a Career in Athletics is accepting applications for our two virtual summer academies. For girls, June 17th through June 20th, and young professional women, July 8th through July 11th. Discover your unique leadership profile. Develop relationships with industry experts. Determine strategies to help you thrive in your sports career. For more information, visit www.syWACIA.com. Again, that's www.syWACIA.com.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chatham Garden where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, we're almost down to the last minute, and I did want to talk just a slight bit about any kind of programming that you have to help your students post-COVID and their mental health. What are you all doing?
Yeah, so we really, you know, at the University of Miami, we have really been, I will say, connective with them throughout this whole process. We continue to compete in the fall and spring as safely as we could. But I will say this, it was challenging, to say the least, with all of the health and safety requirements that we had to put in. So what we did is we actually brought on board an additional sports psychologist to help our student-athletes with their mental health. We had one that was – we have two that's internal here in the department, and then we have one that's housed on our university's counseling center, and they have been very, very helpful. We also created several support groups that we found. In addition to the COVID piece, what we found that was really the bigger challenge, or I would say an additional challenge, is if you think back to 2020, which seems like it was forever ago, but so you had a global pandemic, you had race and social injustices, and you had a national election. So it was a really hectic, chaotic year. And so our student athletes, what we started meeting with them every month, and we literally did roundtables, virtual, and we said, just come to the roundtable, come in, you know, come as you are, speak, share, whatever you want to talk about, and we found that to be very, very helpful. And out of those roundtable discussions came Affinity Group. So we now have the Black Student Athlete Alliance. We now have Athlete Ally that supports our student athletes who may identify with the LGBTQ+ community, and we also have an international professional student athlete group. So all three of those groups, they're housed under our SAC group. But we all have advisors for them, but they're student-athlete led. But we found that the support groups, the constant checking in, that's been the most helpful pieces. As a conference, we've really done a good job in the ACC conference with mental health. We have mental health Wednesdays. Mm. We call them Wellness Wednesdays. And mm. so we've done things, whether it's a speaker or we'll have an ice cream cart outside where it would be outside, socially distant. You pick up ice cream or a food truck, just little things. We had dogs, like if dogs are your thing, we had dogs outside so they could pet dogs. So those are the types of things. So we really went kind of untraditional. We hadn't done those types of things in the past, right? In the past, it was come to this session and let's talk about it. But this, we really had to be creative, interactive, socially distant. So here's what's interesting. It really took a global pandemic for us to think outside of the box when it came to helping them and supporting them with their mental health. So we plan to continue those support pieces moving forward, even as we're coming out of the pandemic and hopefully coming out of the pandemic. And the messaging is still support of mental health, but also education of vaccinations. It is not at this moment required at the University of Miami, but we are certainly helping them with the education piece of the vaccination because that seems to be a little bit of a hesitation for some, not all, but for some. And so we just asked, how can we help with the hesitation? And it seems to be education. And so those are the next pieces that we're doing here at UM is educational sessions on the vaccine.
I like that. Help with the hesitation with education.
Yeah, yeah, because that seems to be where we are now. There was fear and concern of the pandemic, and are we going to be able to compete safely? So we seem to be able to, we have laid those to rest for the most part, and so now that's the next piece is where we are with that. And but yeah, just had to be really creative, really flexible, really adaptive, and really listening to what our student athletes needed. What is it that you really need? And it could be basic things like, okay, I'm in contact tracing and I'm in isolation for 14 days. Can you send me some games? Oh, okay, yeah, cool. Like little things, like that made a big difference.
Mm.
Yeah, so staying connected.
With these groups, because I heard you say your programming has to be different. So do you provide...
Yes.
Different programming, like I think I did do a workshop for the ACC SAC, and I did a growth mindset versus fixed mindset, and I created an assessment for the book, The Four Agreements, so they'd be able to figure out which one the Four Agreements need to concentrate on for the next, I would say, 6 months or something. And, but as we talked about NACWA, and one of the things I kept hearing was that it was not necessarily helping black women. And so that's why I started Chat in the Garden to help. Oh, my goodness. She says we got 1 minute. So.
Oh.
So those are the
I got to come
things.
Back. I got to come back.
Yes.
To your point with the black women piece, but it's like you don't know that they need it because some of them are quiet until someone says, you belong here too. Tell me what you need. Tell me what you need. And so that's been helpful. So our Black Student Athlete Alliance is actually led by a black female, a phenomenal black female. And she leads that group with grace and intelligence, and it's been wonderful. And so when I say different, I just kind of ask, what are we talking about? We did a whole session, quite frankly, on hair care. How do you take care of your hair during your active season? A whole session on it. And we're going to do another one. Yeah, so things that some people don't even think about. Oh, that's a thing? Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
It is.
So, right? So it sounds simple, but really important to us. really important to us. So that's the specific programming we do for them. But then we do programming where it doesn't matter if it's a Black Student Athlete Alliance, Athlete Ally, whomever. When we're talking about the vaccines, they all need
right.
that information, right?
Right?
So sometimes it's general information, and then sometimes it's specific to that group. And so we just continue to check in with them monthly, and we move forward with the programming that way. Yeah.
And it goes back, check up from the neck up. I got
come
that
on
down.
Now. Come
like,
on.
Check
up from
really
the neck up.
Enjoyed you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was fun, and I'm so glad we connected. I'm so happy Divine Intervention brought us back together, and I'm hoping and praying that our paths will cross in person. And next time when I see you, if you're okay with it, I'm going to hug you.
Oh, no problem with that. No problem with that. And thank you,
awesome.
Too. Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions for serving as our engineer and my eyes and my ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show updates and show guests and podcast follow-ups. Follow us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.